attention, please. I'm Sonny Andrew Abriop Hawkins. I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start firing your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Abel Yediah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary.
Great Deacon Melchizedek Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now today I'd like to speak on the subject of rejoicing. And we've been hearing about this subject all throughout the feast, about rejoicing. And in fact, it was the theme for this feast, rejoicing. And today I would like to shed some light on this subject, because we really need to rejoice at the feast, at the Sabbath, and so on, because it's a command. It's actually a law to do so. If we could start off by turning over to the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, it's found on page 157, Deuteronomy 12. And let's start off on verse 5. It says, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. There you must bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts. You have vowed to give your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There, in front of Yahweh your father, you and your family shall eat, and you shall rejoice in all that you have put your hand to do, because Yahweh your father has blessed you." Okay, so I'd like to start off here by giving you the definition of rejoice. The definition of rejoice from dictionary.com is to be glad, to take delight, to make joyful, and to gladden. So we are to take delight in coming to the feasts and the Sabbaths and new moons and so on. This is what Yahweh wants. All right, so we have so much to rejoice in, great saints of Yahweh. We can rejoice in seeing the prophecies coming to pass in this generation. Praise Yahweh. And knowing that this system that Satan has set up at this time will not last. All right, this and knowing that when Yahweh's kingdom is set up, all this misery, this death, this destruction, the pain, the sorrow, and the sin will be put to an end. My point is here is that we have so much to rejoice in. So why then would we let the day-to-day grind and the tests and trials get to us to make us so miserable so that we can't rejoice on the Sabbaths and on the feast days and so on? All right? So if we are thinking to ourselves, well, I'm just going to rejoice on the feasts and I'm going to be keeping this law, we're already setting ourselves up for failure. We need to set our minds in advance that when we wake up in the morning, start off the day right, whenever we study and so on, to be a delight for our brothers and sisters. All right? Now, the synonyms for the word rejoice, they're celebrate, make merry, enjoy, glory, joy, triumph, be overjoyed, be glad. But one I would like you to get here, don't know if you can see that there, but the one I want you to get is one I have highlighted there, the word delight. Okay, if we could go over to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah. Isaiah 58. And let's go over to verse 13. It's found on page 567. It says, "If you turn your foot away from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure, your own business, your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh, honorable, and will honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor engaging in idle conversations." Verse 14 says, "Then you will find your joy in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it." Now, if you see here, he's telling you here to keep the Sabbath. And one of the ways he says to keep the Sabbath here is to call the Sabbath a delight. You know, rejoice on the Sabbath. All right? Now, in the Yahweh's Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, the booklet that they hand out at Seder, right here, one of the Kahans here read one of the points. It was number 47, and it says, "Yahweh caused the light of the message in these last days to shine on the earth from the Hot Bird and Galaxy satellites. It says that I saw the message of the seventh Malach come down from heaven, and the earth was enlightened with his glory. And this is Revelation 18, verse 1. But it says, or as one of the overseas viewers said, Yisrael Hawkins delights our screens. Okay, so they were rejoicing to see Yisrael Hawkins every Sabbath. Okay, they were rejoicing, and we should have the same mindset, you know. It should be a delight for us to come to Sabbath, not a drudgery, you know, just do it because you have to, because the law says so. It should be a delight, something that you take joy in. Praise Yahweh. Now, I know that they went over this in the women's presentation, but in Proverbs 24, verse 17 through 18, it says, do not rejoice when you see your enemy fall, and do not be glad when he stumbles. Okay, this definition of this word enemy, it's a person who feels hatred for, fosters harmful designs against or engages in antagonistic activities against a brother, an adversary, or an opponent. Okay, a hostile, it says here, a hostile nation or state, a citizen of such a state, an armed foe, an opposing military force, and something harmful. Okay, so we can see here, this is someone who fosters harmful designs against someone else and feels or has hatred for this person. Okay, so if we look over to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 19, Leviticus 19, let's go over to verse 17. It's found on page 98, Leviticus 19 and verse 17. It says, you shall not hate your neighbor in your heart. Rebuke your brother or sister frankly, so that you will not share in his or her guilt. Now, verse 18 here, it says, do not seek revenge, nor bear a grudge against one of your own people. But you shall love your neighbor, whether a brother or an enemy, as yourself. I am Yahweh. Okay, so this scripture right here is telling us to love our enemy as ourself. You know, treating others the way that we want to be treated. Okay, we as part of the house of Yahweh have so much to rejoice in. Okay, but the world at this time has nothing to rejoice in. You know, it might seem like fun going to amusement parks and the beach and so on, but Yahweh's laws is the only thing that brings true peace, joy, and love. Let's just think about that for a minute. You know, if the whole world at this time kept the laws of Yahweh, okay, people wouldn't have to worry about being stolen from. People wouldn't have to be worried about being killed and so on. You know, if the world at this time kept the laws of Yahweh, they wouldn't be going through these things at this time, and then they would be able to rejoice. All right. So I made a short list of some of the things that we can rejoice about. Okay. So my first one here is we have only a short time before we receive the promises of Yahweh, and that is if we endure. All right, so this is something that we can rejoice in. We can rejoice in knowing that Yahweh is pulling us out of this sin-sick world, okay? And he's going to save us once again if we endure and keep the laws of Yahweh. And Psalms 91 also talks about this, the shadow of protection from the things to come upon this world at this time. Okay, we can rejoice that Yahweh showed us the truth so we can turn from sin. We can rejoice that we have the laws of Yahweh. Okay, the world at this time doesn't know the laws of Yahweh. And like it was said in the book of Deuteronomy, you know that they're groping at this time for answers. We can also rejoice in knowing that Yahweh is in full control. We can also rejoice in knowing that Yahweh has sent us a teacher in these last days, Yisrael Hawkins. And we can also rejoice that Yahweh has made sure that we have his laws in the book of Yahweh in these last days. All right, we can rejoice that Yahweh has given us clean food, both physical and spiritual. Okay, the physical food, the clean food, water and air, you know, people in this world right now don't really have these things. And also the spiritual food. We should be rejoicing in these things. We should be soaking up these things, the prophetic words, the newsletters, the booklets, the book of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, and so on. These are all things that we can rejoice in. See, what I'm trying to show you is that we have a lot of stuff we can rejoice in, okay, other than this world at this time, okay? This world is living in misery at this time. They have no purpose to living. Okay, here in the world we see nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, as it was prophesied in Matthew 24. But we in the house of Yahweh see how Yahweh meant for it to be. We can see how Yahweh meant for it to be. Okay, this is something else that we could rejoice in. So in conclusion, I'd like to say, don't let the day-to-day grind get us down and so on, but lift up our heads and rejoice because our redemption draws near. So with that, if everyone will please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, Sonny Israel Abel, Deacon Shlomo Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. All right, getting right into this. All right, last time I spoke, we talked about Highway 77 and 74. As you can see here, right here, 74 and 77. Well, today we're going to talk about these two roads here, 39 and 77. All right, these are the two roads that turn into one bridge and go over the Canadian River. And those are the two roads I'm going to be talking about today. Now, this road, it's the James C. Nance Memorial Bridge. As you can see here, this is from Wikipedia. And as you can see here, it says, crossing the Canadian River between Purcell and Lexington, Oklahoma, the bridge carries U.S. Route 77 and Oklahoma State Highway 39 from McLean County to Cleveland County. Now, this road here, it was closed. It was built in 1938, but then it was closed in 2014 due to some structural damage. But then it reopened about 6 months later. It reopened on 6/13. Now, isn't that wonderful, isn't it? Yes, on 6/13. Now, let's talk about 39, the Highway 39. So you can see here, in Greek, it comes from Hagen, which means holy place, which goes to 40, Greek 40, which means sacred, holy, set apart by or for Yahweh. It means holy one, a saint. Then it means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious. All right. So let's look at the word set apart. Set apart. If you turn over to Isaiah 40, on page 555, Isaiah 40, verse 13 and 14, it says, who will know the mind of Yahweh? What man will teach instruction? Whom will he counsel, instruct, or teach in the way of justice, knowledge, or the way of understanding, the law, in order to separate him for a holy purpose? So who's been set apart for a holy purpose in these last days? All right, let's go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 10, I'll show you. It says, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, and my servants whom I have chosen. All right, Yahweh has set apart these people. These are the chosen to do this message. All right. It comes from the word hagnos, Greek 53, which means pure, inside and out, undefiled from sin, even down to the center of one's being, not mixed with guilt or anything condemnable. It also means innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, and clean. And who is this talking about? Who's this talking about? Being clean, perfect, chosen for the job? Yishel Hawkins, yes. And if you still don't believe, let me show you. All right, this word comes from, if I could find it. So you can see here, it comes from Hagnus and Thalpo. Here's this word, Thalpo, 2282, which means I cherish, nourish, foster, comfort. Let's turn to Revelations 12. Revelations 12. And let's look at verse 6. It says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by Yahweh, that she should feed her there 1,260 days. Let's look over the verse 12. It says, verse 14. It says, unto the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half from the face of the serpent. So there you see the word nourish, or cherish, foster. And we all know that that was in the ends of the earth. If you could turn to Isaiah 49. Well, let's look at Isaiah 41 first. Isaiah 41 and verse 9, it's on page 555 again. It says, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. All right, and that's what the scripture is talking about in Revelations 12, 14, the ends of the earth. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called you from the farthest parts of it and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. There you see the word chosen again. All right, and remember, this is all coming from the two roads leading to the area that Pastor was born. And then Isaiah 49 and verse 6. It says, and he said, it is not enough that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the protected of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, so you may be my salvation to the ends of the earth. All right, the ends of the earth. Now let's look at this picture again before I move on. This picture, as you can see, the two rows are 77 and 39. Here you have 77 and 39 in the calculator. All right, 77 and 39 equals 116. 116. Here you have the donkey. This was the very first sign on August 25th. All right, there you have Pastor beholding the donkey. And then 116 days later, what occurred? This sign, H and SHDHF. As you can see here, this scene in the clouds came from our high priest Yeshua exactly 116 days after the first vision. 116 days, exactly. Let me show you something else. You see the number? 116. Yes, praise Yahweh. All right, 116. Let's turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Now this is from Yeshua. It says in Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. The end of the age. And that end is coming soon, you know. The end of the age. And in closing, you see the river? Does everyone see the creek and the river where it forms? Yes? It looks kind of like this, doesn't it? You see the skin? Does everyone see that? Thank you. Yes. Does everyone see that? Praise Yahweh. And you see the roots here are right here. That's around the area where our great overseer was born. Now, is that a coincidence or what? All right, and with that, if everyone will please stand. I'd like to turn over to the great Kohen, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. I lost my voice yesterday yelling and screaming. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated.
Can you bring the iPad back, please?
Thank you. Okay. I got a lot to cover in a short time, of course. But I'm going to start out with... did you hear what Pastor said yesterday about sevens in the sky and I am and all that? Did you all hear about that? Did you hear the rumor? Okay. I'm going to start out because my sermon today is regarding the end of the age. Okay? And this number seven, I'm going to read a little bit about it, then I'll show you the pictures. This is from Strong's Concordance. Number seven means... it's the word abad, and it means to destroy, to perish. It says, basically, abad represents the disappearance of someone or something. In the strongest sense, the word means to die or to cease to exist. Yahweh warned Israel that disobedience and God and unholiness would be punished by their removal from the promised land and death in a foreign land. Where he says in Leviticus 26:38, and ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. This sense may be further heightened by the use of the intensive stem, so that the verb comes to mean utterly destroy. The stem also changes the force of the verb from intransitive to transitive. So Yahweh told Israel to utterly destroy or bring to non-existence the gods of Canaan. Okay? Destroy all their pictures, you know, destroy all their music, destroy all these images in your head that have been placed there by the Roman Catholic Church. And they're not false gods, by the way, they're real gods, okay? There's no such thing as a false god. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Deuteronomy 12:2-3. This intensified sense is used of the destruction of people's armies too. For example, like Pharaoh's army in Deuteronomy 11:4. It also talks about coming to ruin. Turn over to Exodus 10:7, and I want you to think about Revelation 10:7 while we're turning there, and Yahweh's seventh Moloch. Exodus 10:7. On page 52, it says, and Pharaoh's official said to him, how long shall Israel Hawkins be a snare to us? Remember, he's speaking of Moshe, but you can put Israel Hawkins there right now. Let the people go so they may worship Yahweh, their heavenly Father. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined? Okay, now this is what's going to take place again, okay? And that's what this is talking about. It also speaks of being carried off to death or destruction by some means. It also could be applied to human qualities which are lessening or have lessened. For instance, you know, their understanding is taken away. They're devoid of understanding. They have no answers. It's being taken away. Okay, and we can read about that in Romans chapter 1. Now, it's also from word number 6, which means to wander away, lose oneself, perish, destroy, lose, make to perish, be void, have no way to flee, the disappearance of someone or something. In its strongest sense, the word means to die or cease to exist, non-existence, wicked, going astray in a sense of wandering, etc. Now, let me show you a few pictures. And by the way, you know, really, Satan really tried to keep these pictures from getting here. But Yahweh is in full control, right? These were taken by some diligent observers, some of the stars of Yahweh. Now this one here, it's going to be a little bit difficult to see. But can you see I am written there? Here's the I, here's the M. I am. Can you all see that? And off to, I believe, the right here, you can see a very, it's distinct, it's a seven, okay? But it's kind of fading out. There's also seven down here, right here. Okay? Here's another one taken from another direction. Now, I want to remind you, these were taken in all four directions around the camp. And also, there was four sevens seen over the sanctuary facing the north all at one time. Okay? And this was on 10-11, by the way. Here's another one. Y'all see that? Okay, now I want to show you another one. All right. Here's another one for you. Y'all see that? Well, what could this mean? Now, turn over to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. I told you I'm going to have to go through this pretty quick, but we'll get there. Let's look at verse 21 on page 539. It says, "Prepare slaughter for her children because of the iniquity of their fathers, so that they may not rise, possess the earth, and fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, says Yahweh of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and descendant, says Yahweh." Babylon will be utterly destroyed. No root nor branch will be left, right? It says, "It will be a possession for the bitter and the pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh of hosts has vowed and saying, just as surely as I have planned, it will come to pass. Just as surely as I have purposed, it will come to stand." Yahweh's prophecies are 100% accurate. You can't change it. We cannot change it. Yahweh won't allow it to be changed. Verse 26. "This purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth." Remember, those sevens were seen north, south, east, and west. All right? This destruction that's coming, this nuclear war is coming. Okay, and this destruction, this abolishment of the gods is going to take place. And it's going to take place. We're going to destroy the gods through what? Teaching. So are you going to classes? All right. Verse 27. "For Yahweh of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" This is the date that it was seen, and it means to take counsel, but it means to determine, purpose, plan. 10-11, a determined purpose and plan. And notice this, it's a resolved plan, arranging all of Yahweh's eternal purposes in order. It's Yahweh's in full control, and no one's going to change it. Okay, this is Yahweh's plan, and it will not fail. When did this destruction, this end begin? 1934. Pastor told us, and we see all the evidence of it. Daniel wrote about it in the year 534. You see that name here? Okay, 534 BY, branch. But not just branch, but the summit of a tree. That means the uppermost branch, the top of the tree, the uppermost branch, the chosen branch, okay? You know, on our trip to Lexington and Purcell recently, it was on 10-3, which means gathering, by the way. We saw some interesting road signs on the way. Here's Graham, where Pastor started out there preaching. Notice here, Road 67. And you know, that reminded me of something. Remember, Pastor came to Abilene in 67, right? The Great White Buffalo. If you remember in Buffalo Gap, Texas, at Farm Road 613, leading to Buffalo Gap on Graham Street. Y'all remember that? Remember Abel 67, Graham, Road 67? Wow, what a coincidence, right? Hey, by the way, did anybody notice what time's pastor's prayer stopped last night? There you go. Everybody noticed it, didn't you? Now you're starting to pay attention. Beautiful. 613, on the feast of it began on 6th and ended on the 13th, right? How amazing. Also, when we went to Jacksboro, I noticed something else. In Jacksboro, here's the road 59 leading into Jacksboro. Well, who would 59 be? It's Abel. It's Abel. Okay, see, we're getting them in our heads now. It's starting to sink in. Now, I'm going to go to a sermon dated 2511. It's from the 9th book of Israel. I'm sorry, 11th book of Israel. Let me show you the cover. 11th book of Israel. Okay, and it's about the end of the ages. And it's the first sermon Pastor gave, and it's called, I'll put it up here for you, "The Administration of Yahweh Was Planned from the Beginning. The End is the Finishing of Yahweh's Plan of the Administration that will guide the universe and the world." It's from 2511. And, just wanted to look up 2511 just to see what that meant. You remember what the great deacon just showed you about cleansing and purifying? To cleanse, to purify, to purge, to make clean, to purify from wickedness in a moral sense by creating, by removing, by cleansing. You know, in a Levitical sense, remember purifying the sons of Levi? Pastors of the lineage of Levi, by the way. Do y'all remember that? Wow, what a coincidence again. And I told you yesterday, Pastor's smooth. You see that? 2511 means smooth, but watch this. It's from 2505. To be smooth, as smooth stones were used for lots. And it means to allot and assign, like give a portion to somebody. We'll talk about that. Yesterday I showed you this word Yeshurun, and it means upright, but it also means, it's from Yashar, and it means to be smooth, straight, or right. And by the way, 3484, birth, Psalm 91:4, think about that for a minute, because I'm going to show you a meaning here of Hebrew 84. By the way, who's in his 84th year this year? Yeah, Israel Hawkins, right? It means opinion. It means, it's used in Psalm 91:4, and it means wings. Remember under his wings, under his feathers, right? It's from Hebrew 83, it means wings, pinions, wings. Wow, remember the protection? Remember I showed you the gematria of under your shadow, O Yahweh, and it came out to be Yeshurun? What a coincidence, right? So 3484, Yeshurun comes from 3474. And remember, whose lot was 74? Yisro Hawkins on that smooth lot stone that he received. Okay? And if you remember, one of the roads there, and by the way, it turns into Green Street. of all names, here we go. There it is, going into Lexington and Purcell, right there, 74, turns into Green Avenue, of all names, right? 74 in Gematria, Strong's. 74 means father of light. Father of light in the Hebrew, and in the Greek, it means a struggle for victory. Remember his lot 17, which means victory. It means a severe mental struggle, agony, and anguish. Remember that squeezing that's taking place? It's from 73. It means an effort or anxiety, conflict, contention, fight, race, a struggle or contest, an action at law or trial. Remember, we are on trial. The pastor was taken to trial when he was 74 years old. Y'all remember that? Keep these things in mind. But it also from 71, and it means to lead, to bring, Remember Abel? Abel means to bring, okay? And that's where he's leading the people, to Abel. Now I'm going to read you from this sermon that I just quoted. Pastor talked about, now get this. He talked about the plan of the ages. And this whole sermon, if I need you to go back and read it, because it's what the end of the ages means, okay? But what blew my mind when I read this is what I completely missed the first time. And now this was years before this number came up. This was 5 years before. Pastor says in verse 111, Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men plainly see how this secret is administered, that is, in the house of Yahweh. If you remember that in Ephesians 1:10, how the secret is administered, which has been hidden in Yahweh from the beginning of the ages, who created all things. In the beginning of the ages. You get that word, he says? Circle that word, ages. You got it? All according to the plan of the ages. He says, now let's go to Matthew 24. Keeping in mind what you learned right there, and notice verse 3. If you look up the word end of the world, or if you've got a diaglot, or even another translation, you know, other translations know this word here is not world. They know it's not world, but it means ages. Remember what you just read in Ephesians, ages or set ages. And turn over to Matthew 24:33 right now. You know, of all numbers, right? 33, what does that remind you of? Come on. It's conception, right? But also the death of Yahshua and his resurrection and seating at right hand of Yahweh. Matthew 24:33, let's read it. Look at the subtitle over 32. That generation will not pass away. Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, know that it's coming and the end of the age is near at the very door. Truly I say, that generation will not pass away until all things are fulfilled. Pastor says, that word, I'm skipping to verse 122, he says in Matthew 24:34, the word generation will not pass should be replaced, the word ages should be put there, the word age, okay, that age will not pass. Now, here's the mind blower, everyone. You see the word number? For ages? Everybody see it? Do y'all remember this? Now, here's 1074 in Greek. And there you go, proving Pastor right. It means an age. But it just doesn't mean age. It also means men of the same stock or family. The family of Yahweh. Remember when Pastor, when you see these numbers, it's talking about Pastor, but are we all not the body of the Messiah here? Are you all not joined to Pastor? That's right. So when you see these numbers, include yourself in it. Don't separate yourself from Israel Hawkins. Be with him. And as you have, as you are, y'all are doing a great job, okay? And I'm really, really pleased that people are paying attention to the numbers and they're seeing these things. And Yahweh's doing a great work. He's inspiring us. He's inspiring all of you. You know, I am, when I get up here and I read these numbers and I do the gematrian things, you know, I get a lot of feedback from a lot of people and a lot of help from other people, a lot of information. And you know, I may not bring it right that second or, you know, the next sermon, but, you know, it's cataloged right here, right? You know, one day this is going to open up, man. You're going to be so, it's going to be a big rush of information, okay? You guys, keep joining yourself to Israel Hawkins. This man is our life. We have no life without this man. Remain in the house of Yahweh. Where else can you go? Who else has the words of life? Where else will you get this kind of information, this knowledge? You can't get it anywhere else but the beautiful house of Yahweh. So if you'd all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to turn it over to the great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. You know, a few things to watch for as, you know, throughout the rest of the day and in your studies when leaving and going back to your states you're from or your countries you're from and watching, because once again, the end is very near. But watching these things and going back through Yisrael says and seeing what Pastor has said about them, we start out with Russia once again showing how their ties are building with Saudi Arabia. And notice that word building. They say this has been in the works for a while. And of course, Russia knows, as well as China and Iran and Syria. And all the nations are very aware that this big war machine the United States has built has been built using the petrodollar. And if you want to slow it down, well, who can make war with the beast? Well, no one country can give the United States a run for its money, so to speak. But multiple countries coming together and removing that petrodollar, because they actually, through the buying of oil, have supplied the United States with what they have in a roundabout way. Well, they're familiar with that and they're knowledgeable of that, so they're trying to work it out to where they no longer have to do that. And then also President Trump, he looked to decertify, which means not renew, the contract with the Iranian nuclear agreement required every 90 days that the United States president recertify it. In other words, he's supposed to look at it, see, make sure they're in compliance, and then give his stamp of approval. Well, the last time that was done, the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, did it. President Trump didn't do it, and President Trump became upset. Well, he decertified that agreement yesterday, which means he's not throwing it out, but he wants to implement more things into an agreement that's already been made, it's been set. And all of the other countries involved in that agreement are saying, listen, they've upheld their agreement. President Trump's own staff is saying they've held the agreement. Technically, they haven't broken the agreement. Well, one thing to keep in mind, why is this agreement so important? It involves everyone that's part of the quartet is part of this agreement also, and they're disagreeing with each other. And you're seeing Europe actually side with Russia. And it's very interesting in what's being done. Well, Iran has said that whatever is done to them, if sanctions are applied, if anything is done to them, they are going to retaliate because they have done what was required of them. And once again, remember yesterday, the world is saying the United States doesn't keep their agreements. They break their agreements. And of course, the United States' response to that is, well, we have a new president, so he changes what the first president did. You've heard pastors say that for years. They come in and they change those agreements. Well, yesterday in Iran, just the awaiting for President Trump to announce his decision, their currency dropped a lot yesterday. The value of the Iranian currency, it literally dropped. It plummeted. No one gave a percentage, but they were talking about it dropped. And the new generation of Iran, well, they're deeply distressed now, because what Iran needs, they need investment into their economy to support their younger generation, to give them jobs. With just President Trump's speech yesterday, it really lowered it. So before any sanctions were even applied, just his speech alone has sent their economy into a deeper part of depression. Well, of course, that's what President Trump wants to do. He wants to put more sanctions on them that can be implemented at any time. Not everyone is agreeing with that. Well, one reason Russia's not agreeing with it, because they're coming out and saying, listen, we have an agreement with NATO that we signed many years ago that the United States, our NATO allies, would not build up forces on our borders. Well, the United States is building up forces around the borders of right there on the side where Moscow is at, because Russia is an enormous country. But the European side, right there at Eurasia, you have the United States building up in Poland and Romania against the Russian borders. And Russia is saying someone needs to tell them to back off. What you really have, if you can imagine two people or three people and they're standing nose to nose, imagine one person and he's standing nose to nose with four or five other people. And they're all pushing and shoving, and everybody's saying, you better back down. Well, come sooner or later, somebody's not going to back down, because the frustrations and this making decisions based on emotions is going to lead to a very negative consequence. And then, of course, you have Federica Mogherini. She's, of course, the leader of the EU. And she comes out saying, notice her speech, though. Notice what she says and how she does it. She says that no one has the right to change this deal, as far as I know. She's not sure of herself. She really doesn't know. But one thing she is standing against, she's saying at the end, Well, the President of the United States may have a lot of power, but not in this one, showing that they're going to be defiant against him. And you can truly see where the nations are angry at what is taking place. If we could please go ahead and play the news. Did everyone pay close attention whenever you've seen them talking on the CBS Morning News? You've seen how the nations are angry. Russia's upset. You have the European Union is upset. Of course, Iran is upset. Syria's upset. But you notice the few countries they said were not upset, and they still believe Donald Trump. In fact, he said could close the deal. And of course, they're talking about Palestine and Israel. Now think about all of the things that are coming to pass from what Pastor has brought us the many years about this peace treaty that Daniel prophesied of, and all of the things that we see that Pastor said for many years, watch, be mindful and watch, because these prophecies are coming to pass and we're going to see them before our very eyes. And do not forget Psalms 91. You will see this with your own eyes, just as we have been told by the greatest teacher in the world, the great God in Israel, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Well, we're still here. Everyone. Oh, this is great. And still rejoicing, Yahweh. They're still rejoicing. You may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. May Yahweh bless you. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I had some, I guess it's fake news, maybe, but it says EPM. Congress told North Korea that an EPM strike would kill 90% of the Americans. I don't know why Congress would tell them that, but maybe so. The cookbook will be given out. Hopefully this time. We had plans to do this four times. It's always failed. But we don't give up in the house of Yahweh. It'll be given out immediately after services. If you just keep your seat after I leave, you're going to hear a song, too, that I want everyone to learn. It's pretty hard to learn, but you can do it. And I'd like everyone to sing it next Passover, everyone to know it and sing it. Some things are taking place. It looks like it may be the nuclear. You know, 2017, we never did bring that out, but 2017 actually means the great turning around, which we're doing right now. We're turning this world. I'll show you some of that right here in just a moment. But we're turning the world. We're putting, they're last hearing the truth. And of course, the prophecies, they're seeing that the prophecies don't lie. Everything that the prophecies say is 100% accurate. But so this is the great turning around. We're reaching all the world with news broadcast, with the Facebook. I don't know how many things we're on right now, but there's quite a few. Plus the streaming live to all the world. We're getting there. Yahweh made it possible for us to reach every nation. I think if I were you, I'd make arrangements, at least make arrangements to have a place to move to here. And be ready to come at a moment's notice. If you don't have anything holding you where you are, come right now. And praise Yahweh. If you're sick, don't suffer it alone. Let us know so we can
Prayer helps a lot. From the house, I don't want you sick. Don't want you dying. Boy. Anyway, get in touch with us. Let us know so we can help you. As the way I see it, doctors are an evil. They're set up to take everything that a person acquires, and of course the canon law of the Vatican that they're talking about, that they want ever all the nations to follow, is get what you can by any means, acquire, buy, just buy. Get as much stuff as you possibly can. Everything you buy makes them money. Remember this right here. This is when this generation started. When that buggy, when the doctors stopped using that buggy, this came the new knowledge, the knowledge increase that was prophesied. An increase in knowledge. And that very year, 1934, when the last one of these was made, 1934 began the generation, our generation. I was born in 1934, so was the nuclear bomb. It started in 1934, so was the computer. The computer started making the nuclear bomb possible. The prophecies don't lie. They're here for your benefit. You need to learn them. Remember, keep in mind that this sermon that I'm fixing to bring you is the Ten Kings here. This was broadcast. It was shown to you back in Daniel. I've brought it out in the Mark of the Beast. Well, they made their allegiance to the Roman, to the Vatican, of course, but they're going to turn on the Vatican. Those Ten Kings are going to turn on the Vatican when they see what's really behind the scheme to depopulate the earth. And that's what the scripture shows. That's what Malachi Martin showed. The Vatican in Rome hopes to come out on top of everyone else. And that's what Malachi Martin brought out. These people, these ten, are not going to like this. And Revelation shows they're going to turn on this beast and kill it. The newsletter that went out that's stirring up quite a gossip session throughout the world. Yisrael Hawkins explains Book of Revelations, fourth part of the earth. That was up earlier. I don't know what it might be now, but earlier it was very high, 67,067. Now that's an unusual number. You might check it out. 67 is the year I came to Abilene. 67 was the started the Six-Day War that I told you about earlier in Jerusalem, trying to stop Sabbath keepers from coming back to Israel. They don't want to get that started again. They're against the Sabbath, Yahweh's feast days. They don't want to start any of that again in Israel and have to put up with it. So they tried to wipe them out but couldn't because the United States helped Israel. And the United States is strong. And, of course, prophecy shows that their cities would be rebuilt. Now, those prophecies are getting mixed up a lot now with present last day prophecies, and it just doesn't work. You have to be careful in prophesying. If you don't, you'll lead people off in left field, and then of course they get to doubting the prophecies. But the fourth part of the earth, this fourth part of the earth was explained in this newsletter. It went out on another news release and covered 183 million. that's a lot of people. 183 million already and still rising. But let me see here. There's something else I wanted to show you or read to you. There are over 12 agencies in India. Now get this, this is one of our biggest readers of this news article right here. There are over 12 agencies in India with internet in this press release, and there were people on Yahweh.com this morning in India contacting us. That brings me to the question of, would you like to be on the gossip session? They call it chat announcement for OYH. The chat announcement. If you want to get on this, I want you to turn your name in at the North office or the South office, either one. And now we have lessons started already, so you can be a part of those lessons. And if I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. If I am, we'll quickly get it on. But we'll chat with you also on the air and teach you how to give these answers. And if you don't know the answer, then the words to say, so you can easily shut down and come back to them later with the proper answer. There is a great need for workers to help in this chat department online. This is a great opportunity to be able to assist people from all over the world who are visiting the website and have questions on next steps or directions to get around the website and so forth, and to even get to Abilene. Training will be provided, and you can live anywhere as long as you have a computer with internet access. Any amount of time you can volunteer is helpful, even if just 1 hour a day. Come and help assist in this great work and help gather the multitudes and guide them to His house. Praise Yahweh. If you're interested, please put your name in at the North office for the chat on internet to help others. The something else you need to remember is the prophecy shows a fourth part of the earth is where this work is going to start. Here's the fourth part of the earth, in which Yahweh pointed out contains the great river Euphrates, in and around the great river Euphrates, and that's exactly where the war started. If you were in North Korea and you saw this monster, this is the big killing machine called Ronald Reagan, I think. And that sucker is loaded down with nuclear missiles and nuclear bombs, one of which could kill 90% of the North Koreans. And with today's attitude, they don't care. You know, they're just, they don't care how many people they kill or what ages they are. They care more about animals than they do about people. And this is what I want you to understand about the prophecy, the quartet, and the fourth part of the earth, guarding the oil, of course, the oil and the sinful lifestyle that every nation has going at this time. If you look at Revelations, the ninth chapter, you will see this prophecy. And of course, you have to study it closely to understand these prophecies. They're written here a little and there a little. And I meant to point out the prophecies of Yahshua, where he actually, him and his apostles, showed that this prophecy was talking about Yeshua. Now, you'd have a history or something being given here, or a warning to a nation, and all of a sudden there's one verse talking that's prophecy concerning Yeshua. You'd have to be pretty much trained to pick that out, but the apostles and Yeshua himself did some of this for you. And, of course, we see the same prophecies taking place, the same type, because it's hidden. It was sealed. You got to remember, this was sealed up, and no one could understand it. Not even Daniel could understand it. And he was shown the two people that Yahweh would give to understand this in the last days. Daniel was actually showed that in chapter 12 of Daniel. Daniel 12, 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5, where Yahweh said, seal it up till the time of the end. And then Yahweh showed him two others that would be teaching in a future time period. Be teaching, and they'd be teaching and saying, the end is going to be in this time, and the divided time. Well, I brought that out, this time period. It's all in books written in black and white. You can get it. Just call the South office, and they'll tell you what book to get or how to go online and get it free. You can read it right online free. But if you turn over to chapter 9 and start here with verse 13, he shows us a lot of things, and there's these three verses right here. Notice carefully now, the sixth Moloch, the sixth messenger. This too throws you off, because it's like we have a whole bunch of messengers here, but this is not the case. It's a sixth message given by the messenger, and that's the way it should have been translated. But anyway, there wasn't seven of these congregations. This revelation here is given for us. It's given for us in this time period to know what's going to take place in a short time period. It's all given to us. And, of course, the two witnesses, one of which would die, and the other one Yahweh would take, and which is this house in Abilene, Texas. Gives you the direction and everything to it, and show who would establish it. All of that is given in prophecy, where you won't have to doubt. You won't even have to question it if you'll just believe, as Yahshua said, all that the prophets have spoken. Well, the sixth Moloch sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns. The four horns. You get that back in, Exodus, I think it's starts in about Exodus 22 and goes to about Exodus 29, where he's showing this altar of slaughter that's taking place right now by the four horns. It's on that altar, killing men, women, children, ruining their lands, destroying their houses. It symbolizes the quartet, the horns. This golden altar, I've got to explain some of it, Yahweh. Now this action takes place from this quartet, from this altar where slaughter was atonements, life for life, a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, so forth, that was set up. And of course, the deaths on that altar was continual, 24 hours a day. Tie the sacrifice to the horns of the altar. Wow. Well, this is what Yada chose. This is what Adam and Eve chose. This is what Cain chose. This is what your son and daughter chose. If they left the house of Yahweh, they chose this right here. Of course, Cain was Eve's son. Yahweh, Cain, that's my son you're talking about. Please honor his sacrifices. That's my son. I hope you get the picture. You can't stand with your one boot in each field here. He shows you how evil this is. He shows you how evil this is right here in the book of Revelations. But he shows you your job is to take those who will believe, every word that the prophets have spoken, get involved in this work, and continue that involvement until Yahweh gives us the kingdoms of the world, which Daniel shows, talking about this same. But remember, there's four horns of the golden altar, which is before Yahweh, saying to the sixth Moloch, which had the trumpet, loose the four messengers. That's what we did. I did it, and the war started. Who are bound in the great river Euphrates. And he shows you, he identifies now where this is, where it takes place, in that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates that goes right up through that fourth part of the earth. He mentions the river Euphrates here. Loose the four messengers. Loose them so they can go to war. And the four messengers were loosed, that represented the four horns of this golden altar, which were prepared for, we got an hour and a day and a month and a year. But translated properly, it would be properly loosed for that hour of that day, of that month, of that year. Yahweh alone knowing exactly the hour. In order to slay, notice the third part of man, the third part of man in and around the great river Euphrates. In and around the great river Euphrates. Look at verse 18. Verse 17 gives you the nuclear activity that this is going to go to, which we're expecting any time. But this prophecy has got to coordinate, intertwine with the prophecy of the 3.5 years. Please pay attention now. You can play with babies later. But pay attention to what I'm saying. You really need to get this in your head. Every word here that I'm trying to point out to you is very important. Verse 18, look at it again. Verse 17 shows you the three colors that I brought out, I believe it was in 1969 or 76. I believe it's when I wrote the book, The Mark of the Beast, the two volumes, and I painted you these three colors showing the mushroom cloud there that Yahweh shows here. Three colors that make up this mushroom, nuclear mushroom cloud. And by these three, the third part of man was killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Speaking, of course, the command is given. Now, if you look with those three things, remember everything you saw there, and look back to chapter 6 now. Chapter 6 and look at verse 4. Chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him who sat upon it to take peace from the earth. I showed in the books that this is the United States that was given this power, and that they shall kill one another. This is where the killing started, in that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates. Look down to verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures, this is your quartet again, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, very cheap, but hurt not the oil and the wine. Guard this oil and the wine. The lifestyle representing the wine is the lifestyle it shows. In verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice from the four living creatures saying, come and see, come and see. So the pale horse that brings death and hunger and high prices, that's the fourth, over that fourth part of the earth. Now look at verse 12. And I looked, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and notice the sun becomes darkened. Now the sun becomes darkened by several prophecies. Isaiah 24 shows, when this takes place, few men will be left. In Isaiah 24, verse 6, but because of sin, now, because of sin, Isaiah 24, if you combine it with this, and also the Savior's words in Matthew, or Matthew 24, the sun will be darkened, be the greatest tribulation of all, as Daniel said. Also, in Daniel 12, going to be the greatest tribulation of all. In this generation of the two witnesses who will proclaim this to the ends of the earth. The two witnesses, that's us, brethren. There's only one left, and we're taking this message right now to the ends of the earth, including that fourth part of the earth where the wars are taking place. Yes, it's taking place. That the sun will be darkened, dark as sackcloth of hair. The moon will be as blood. That is the prophecy that shows you in Matthew 24:29 that the same one that the Savior was speaking of and saying, this is the end. And when you see this, know that that generation, verse 33 and 34, will not pass away until all of this is fulfilled, including the kingdoms, and that's when, of course, Yahweh takes reign. Well, with that in mind now, let's go back to Daniel. Daniel, the 8th chapter, and try to remember what I'm bringing here. Try to remember what you saw there in Revelations. It wouldn't hurt if you'd go home and read these scriptures again and compare them. They fit together like hand and glove when you get them right. And we've got them right. We've painted it. Yahweh's inspired it. And he even shows in the gematria. I thought that was fabulous today, what was brought out. That's shown in the gematria, showing that Yahweh was thousands of years ahead of us, of course, in planning these little things for his house. And he's very anxious to show you that he's in total control all the time. He was in control of it before we ever brought it to pass. But in Daniel 8 now, and look at verse 22 here. Daniel 8, verse 22. Now because it broke off, that's horns, of course, still speaking of these horns of the golden altar. This carries you through from Exodus 22 clear through to Revelation. The meaning of this horrible, horrible situation that Yada chose, that Adam and Eve chose, that Cain chose. Don't let them ruin your life, brethren. Don't let the Cains in this world ruin your life. Get them out of your life. Get them out of your way. Don't let anything stand in your way to bring forth this work of Yahweh. The more you can bring it forth, the more you'll qualify. Get on that chat machine. This is where you'll be asked questions, and you should be able to answer those questions. If you can't, don't feel bad about it. We'll help you. You'll learn as you work with this chat, and it's getting too much for one person to handle. I remember when we put the conference room in, I said, you're going to see there was a iron shelf all the way around. That is covered up with sheetrock now, but we can tear it off of there pretty quickly. We got the best wrecking crew in the world here. In the But I saw telephones all around that whole room, and I said, there's going to be people on every one of these phones answering questions. Well, it looks like the internet has took the place of the telephone, but we're getting a lot of phone calls too. Now, because it broke off, the four and four stood up in its place. Now, this is four kingdoms here that stood up in its place. This is what brought forth the quartet now, these four kingdoms. They broke off and the man died, and it went to four generals that are still, their work is still in operation right now. But the four kingdoms will stand up. You'll find those right there in Revelations 17, 1 and 2, and 18. You'll find those. And it will stand up out of that nation, but not with his own power. And in the last days now, notice, now in this, still speaking of this quartet, but in the last days now, when the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light, in the last days of their kingdoms are going to stand, brethren, until this great hour of burning takes place. Yahweh will not have anything to do with it at all. The only thing he'll have to do with, as he shows, is protecting his house in order for his house to take over the few men that are left, that 2 billion people that he's gathering right now in their minds. That's what you're going to take over and start teaching and assigning rather rapidly, rather quickly, because it's of necessity. And in the last days of their kingdoms now, when transgressions have reached their fullness, that's where we are right now. I got article after article showing disease epidemics, California, hepatitis, the great killer, hepatitis 3, I think they call it. They're having a huge epidemic of that. They're worried. They're trying to get extra money for shots, for vaccines, pretending to want to control this. I don't trust anything the world does. You know, it's always for ulterior motive. It's never to protect the poor or the needy, as they make out like it is. But it's always to raise something for their self. But anyway, that's what they're doing with the tax dollars. But they've reached their fullness when sin, transgressions of the law. And here's the Pope standing up there now at the Vatican and saying, don't pay any attention to these laws in the Scriptures. You start studying them and you'll go crazy and liable to kill someone. Killing going on all around them by the Vatican's supervision. Yes, they're the leaders of the kings of the earth. They're the ones that's bringing it. Malachi Martin told that there were going to be before it ever took place. The keys of this blood. One of these days, these 10 kings, these 10 kings is going to wake up, and they're going to read that book of Malachi Martin's, and this is when they're going to turn on the Vatican. But the Vatican that sits on the seven hills, the leader of the kings of the earth, they're the ones that's leading them into these wars. And Malachi Martin said they hope to come out on top, meaning the resurrection of the Roman Empire, which never brought peace. The Roman Empire never brought anything but killing and more killing. And people trying to get strong enough to where they could combat and stay alive. That's the opposition. It just raises opposition and hatred everywhere. But that's what they want to do. We want to resurrect the Roman Empire so they can have full say with their canon law that says everything belongs to the Vatican. Everything belongs to the Vatican. Nothing is left out. It all belongs to the Vatican. This is what Yosef, if you remember, this is how he obtained glory in Egypt. And he brought this to the Egyptians. And the government owned it all. The government was the Coptic Catholic religion. This is the same thing you see on the seven hills of Rome. And they want to own it all again, and they won't say over every person on earth. And they think, then we will have peace. In the last days, that's what Yeshua talked about, the last generation, that's the last generation given to sin and sinners, allowed for them. It won't go after that. The only time that this will ever go again is after the 1,000-year reign. You'll be 1,000 and whatever age you are. No, you won't be all wrinkled up, but your bodies won't be getting old at that time. But you'll be 1,000 years old. Yeshua's 2,000 years old, so you'll be half as smart as he is now. By the time that 1,000 years is up, then Satan will be loosed for 100 years. Now, that's the last deception that will take place throughout all eternity. It's never going to take place again. Praise Yahweh. No more wars. I want you to hear a song at the end of this broadcast today, so don't leave right quickly. It's worth your while, and then you can get a disc of that, or maybe we could hear it online. They're talking about using it all over the world, sending the song all over the world. It and that song about the cookbook. They think that's going to draw attention to righteousness, and I think it will too. I think Abraham's going to get a kick out of it too when we resurrect him. But anyway, those two songs they're wanting to put out on the internet, and this last one, it's very meaningful, a lot of meaning in it. So get it, and it's something that's very inspiring. And in the last days now of their kingdoms, that should be kingdoms, not kingdom, of their kingdoms, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, that's the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church, the Coptic Catholic, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, that Daniel shows was plucked up and transplanted on the seven hills of Rome. He had ten horns in Daniel. He wasn't to be on Babylon. Don't get the word Babylon City mixed up with this huge empire that you see is the fourth part of the earth. That is Babylon right there. Get it and read it. Study it. That is Babylon right there, that fourth part of the earth. It takes in Syria. It takes in all of those countries right there, those cities. Yes, there was a city, but that Cush, that school Cush started, fathered, it spread out quickly through that whole territory, all over it. It spread out to Egypt, everywhere. It brought forth the fighting, the kings of the earth, that in Daniel's day, Daniel prophesied, these four kings, these four kingdoms, they're going to get together. The strongest one is the fourth kingdom of this horns of a golden altar. Four horns they represent. We're going to chop them off. We're in the process of doing so right now, but we're going to take those horns off of the altar. Well, fullness, sins have reached their fullness. The king of furious expression and under. Now, this should be kings right here. Kings, as you see right here, under. This is the holy and the great, they call themselves. They're the greatest diviners on the face of the earth. And they have all pledged their allegiance to the Vatican. Those 10 kings were prophesied to do so in Revelation 17. Revelation 17. But they're going to turn on the Vatican. That's a prophecy. It's going to come to pass. Her flesh is going to be destroyed, given to the burning. That's what Daniel said. It's going to be given to the burning. And then what is left is going to be given to the saints of the Most High. That's you. That's when you're going to take over. Yahweh says, Revelation says, Yahweh will take the reign, begin to reign. Well, he's not going to do this by himself, brethren. He's going to work with his sons and daughters. But you're the ones that's going to do the work. By man came death. By man is also going to come the rulership of righteousness. Also, by man is going to come the resurrection. Remember those words. By mankind. Yes, it came from death. Yahweh put the sword there. To turn him and says, you won't get this tree of life anymore until the last days, and I will establish my house again. And this time it won't be rejected. This time the kings will come to you, they'll fall before you. Yes, they will worship you. You're going to have honor as Yahweh has honor. As Yahshua said, Yahweh has given me honor, so men will honor me as they do him. He said that of you. The quacks that say we worship each other, they don't even have any clue of what they're talking about. They're as ignorant as the rat infestation that we have all over this land at this time. The rat infestation, did you know that the rat infestation is driving people away from here? Come on, you four-legged creatures. Come on, give us a bunch of them. They can't stand rats. They scream, they jump up on the porch and they holler, and they're up on the bed and they holler. They weren't raised on a farm. I'm raising you on a farm right now. Rats are a necessity, so is mice. And in the last days of their kingdoms, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, this king, or kings, these kings of furious expression, the holy and the great, they call themselves, understanding dark sentences by divination now, by divination, but as Jeremiah said, their divining is going to turn to darkness. And what they plan to do is going to take them out. That's what Daniel showed. But they will stand up. They will make their stand. And that, as they have already, they will make their stand. They've pledged their allegiance to the Vatican. And Let me see which way I want to go here, how far I want to go. Yeah, let's keep going. Verse 24, his power will be mighty, but not through his own power. And he will destroy astonishingly. That's what we're doing right now. If you look at some of those cities where these wars are going on, surely you notice that. These wars are going on. They look like it's hit by a nuclear bomb, but these are small blasts compared to the nuclear bombs that's going to be used in that fourth part of the earth very, very soon. We're waiting on it. Yes, and it will reach America too. But in the very last instant, will it reach America? And he will destroy. You people in India, you people in Germany that's hearing my voice, you really need to get ready and start making your move to Abilene. Abilene is different from Abilene. The city of Abel. It's very different from Abilene or Abilene. And he will destroy astonishingly, and he will succeed and practice and will destroy the mighty and the holy. That's best translated, destroy all forms of holiness. Verse 25, and through his policy, he will also cause craft, that is deceit and fraud, to succeed. The Pope is full of lies. He lies continually to all the people. And of course they don't read the scriptures, so they don't know, so he can make all kinds of goofy remarks. A person that knows the scriptures knows how stupid the man is and that he's not following the laws of Yahweh at all, that he's scriptural illiterate, so is all of the Vatican. They got researchers that actually research the scriptures to try to find things that they can use in their divinations to show them a little bit of light. And that's the only light they would have, but that right there is sealed from them. They don't have any gift from Yahweh to understand the prophecies or the laws. They cut themselves off from Yahweh, and when they did that, they cut themselves off from truth and from life itself, but from understanding any of Yahweh's writings. This Book of Yahweh is the source of all knowledge, and they cut themselves off from knowledge. Well, through his policy, he will cause not truth to succeed, but deceit and fraud to succeed in his hand. And he will magnify himself in his heart, and by proclaiming peace, will destroy many. He will also stand up. Now, this identifies now this being right here, this organization. Notice what he does here, because it ties it in with Revelations, the 17th chapter. You see that? Also, the Savior himself spoke of it in Matthew 24. Notice he stands up against the Prince of Princes. That's the Lamb. The Lamb. Shown in Revelation 17:14. The Lamb of Yahweh, the one who died for their sins. Stand up against the Prince of Princes, but he will be broken. He will be broken. The seal, notice verse 26 now. Seal up the vision, for it is not for your time, Daniel. Not for your time. That's verse 26, last part. Seal up this vision. Close it up. No one will be able to understand it until the two that Daniel saw in chapter 12, verse 4. He saw these two others that would be preaching in a future time period. And they would tell, you could see there that Daniel was shown that they will have understanding to foretell the end. Revelation 11 says, and I will give to my two witnesses. I will give to them to show these things, to show the end. Those are prophecies that come true. Now that's Daniel 8, shows the quartet, shows the four horns of the golden altar, 22 through 25, and he sins against the prince of princes. The Savior commented on this. Look at, go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. If you would write by the side of the word name in verse 5, or make an X and put it at the bottom, that word name, if you look it up, it actually means authority. Now, Yeshua's been given authority. He told us that in Yochanan 15. Yahweh gave him authority. He gave him authority to raise the dead. Gave him authority to walk on water. Gave him authority to call fish out of the sea. He did all of these things. He had authority over the wind to halt it or to change its directions or whatever he wanted to do. The wind, you can't see it, but you can feel it, right? It's made up of microorganisms. Those microorganisms do a lot of playing around. And, of course, they get sick and they do a lot of damage. That's the wind that Yeshua actually had control of. You will one day very soon, too. But here in Matthew, remember, he comes against the prince of princes. In verse 5, he's speaking of the end here, as you see in verse 2, and then in verse 3, and see the temple being destroyed, moved anyway. You see it moved, and that's what Titus did. He moved it to Rome, it and all the artifacts to Rome, including the book of Yahweh. That pretty well sealed the book up when they put it in a vault and wouldn't let anyone see it for 1,500 years right there. It made the people ignorant. It took light, the only light they had, it took it away from them. Well, here in verse, and that was Yada that did all of this. In order to bring forth Satan and the gods to try to destroy mankind. Yada is still being inspired by Satan the devil. And Yeshua said in Yochanan 8, verse 44, he said, your father or your mother is Satan the devil. And what she tells you to do, that is exactly what you're going to do. This is what we see in the Vatican today. This is what we see in all the religions. They're not following Yahweh. They're not anywhere close to following Yahweh. You can't find the laws of Yahweh in these religions. You find their own makeups of the canon law in their own minds and their hearts, taught by Hollywood. There's a man, I applauded when I saw this. There's a man being accused from Hollywood right now. He's on all the news stations, being accused of molesting a lot of women. And there's a story came out from an expert psychologist now that says we shouldn't be too harsh on this man because it was probably what brought this excitement was probably because of the way these women were dressed. Well, praise Yahweh, I'm glad somebody is paying attention. Maybe he's listening to the house of Yahweh. Maybe even the X-rated sermons that I brought, trying to stop this very thing. It's kind of irking to see it in the house of Yahweh sometime. For many will come against my authority. That's verse 5. For many will come against my authority. And that word the diglot shows is the many. The many will come against my authority. The many speaking of, verse 11, many false prophets. Many false prophets will be against my authority that is given to Yeshua the Lamb at this time. In Revelation 17 and verse 14 now, Revelation 17, verse 14, we see this identified, this religious organization here, identified here in Revelation that he's talking about. Remember, Daniel said they'll come against the prince of princes. Yeshua said they'll come against my authority. Now look at Revelation 17 and verse 14, and it ties this mystery Babylon, the mystery Babylon that's now sitting on the seven, he has seven heads along with the ten horns, a new location beyond Babylon. Remember, Acts 38 says beyond Babylon. Amos said beyond Damascus. And the commentators go crazy. Oh, they misquoted. Stephen must have misquoted this. No, he didn't misquote it. Stupid, read your scriptures. Pay attention to what they say. Look at that big kingdom that the Cush's Nimrod took over. It's a huge kingdom there that spread this throughout the earth. The whole thing, all of this confusion was spread throughout the earth. It didn't stop with Babel. It didn't stop there. It spread out all over the earth, the confusion did. They cut themselves off from Yahweh. The only knowledge that they could possibly get, and they cut themselves off from it. And they can't go back to it. Not until Yahweh brings it about by his house, and he wouldn't establish his house till the last days. And he told you that in Genesis 49. He said, Yada is going to rule. He's going to rule. His brothers are going to praise him for his divinations, his wicked, deceiving divinations that's coming forth from the seven hills now. This ties it in right here, verse 14. This group we see in the first five verses of Revelation 17, come and I'll show you the sentence of this great mystery Babylon that sets on seven hills. Seven hills. The seven hills of Rome, and is ruler of the kings of the earth, leader of all the religions of the earth. Got them all at war right now. Verse 14, these will make war with the Lamb. The same thing that Daniel said that changed the laws. Daniel in chapter 7 said they're going to change the laws. They'll speak against Yahweh. The Roman Catholic Church admits this. We got their own writings. I use it ever so often. But the Lamb is going to overcome them. They won't overcome the Lamb this time. Remember, the gates of hell will not prevail against his house this time. Daniel 8:23 mentions the last days. Revelation 17, 7 and 9 shows the seven hills of Rome, the location great whore that is over the multitudes, nations, and tongues. Now this one fights against the Lamb in Daniel 7, 24 and 25 shows he comes against Yahweh and the saints. The vision was sealed up. That is in Daniel 8 and 26. Sealed up, and it wouldn't be shown again until Yahweh's house was established. Be shown by the two witnesses. Yahweh will give to the two witnesses. Isaiah 44 says, who will foretell these things? Let them, the two witnesses, the two brothers, foretell these things. He's the one that says who will foretell them. Daniel 12 says, 4 through 6, you got to read that one. Get it in your mind. Daniel 12. Don't forget chapter 9. I covered this yesterday. Don't forget chapter 9, where Yahweh shows you the peace treaty that was signed by Rabin. Rabin, he was the one that led in the Six-Day War in Israel. He is the one they made the peace agreement with. Yahweh forecast through Daniel that they're going to make this agreement with Rabin. It's a 7-year agreement. It was made. The prophecy said it would be made with Rabin. It was made with Rabin. The prophecies are 100% correct. Now here in Daniel 12, verse 4, he says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. Many will run to and fro. Knowledge will be increased." How did he know that? How could he know that? Any dumb cluck in the country should be able to understand that this knowledge increase took place. You can read it in history. It says 1934 was when it started. The same year, we didn't have bombs in this day right here what did I do with that? There it is, in a horse and buggy. We didn't have nuclear bombs. But they came in this generation, just like Yahshua said they would, in this generation. Knowledge will be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man, clothed in linen, who... On that future day was teaching. How long will it be till the end? So we're talking about the end here. In chapter 27 now, it shows, it's given, let's turn there. This is beautiful right here. Daniel 7, here's where they fight against Yahweh, verse 24, he says, "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings, calling themselves the holy and the mighty and the holy," or something like that. "Will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the first." "And he will subdue 3 kings and will speak great words against Yahweh, wear out, mentally attack, cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh, think to change Yahweh's feast days." If you don't believe that translation, look at Amplified Bible. It's there also. They got it right too. But he changes the feast days. He killed... some say 3 million Jews, Titus did, in Israel who come to keep the feast. Others say it was more like 30 million that this man killed with his army. 30 million, those he couldn't take slaves to Babylon and Rome, those who he gave jobs to work to move in the temple and a million other things. They use slave labor to do it. They change Yahweh's laws and feast days. They admit this, by the way. The Catholic Church admits this. Everything I'm saying, I've got proof of it in the Mark of the Beast. "And they will be given unto his hand." Do you see that? Yahweh allows this to be done. Right up until the time of the end. Notice, until. Until a time and times and the dividing of times. That is the last 3.5 years that will be cut short. The last 3.5 years of the 7-year peace treaty signed with Rabin, shown in chapter 9 of Daniel. It all fits like hand and glove, brethren. It is perfect. But the judgment will set. And they will take away his kingdom. This group right here is going to be deeply involved in taking away this kingdom, in causing this whole thing to turn around and be burned up. It's given to the burning, as you see in Daniel 7 and verse 11. I beheld then because of the voice of the words of the which the horn spoke. I beheld until the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning. And then verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast. Then verse 13, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of the heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they were both, they were brought together before him. They, you, were brought together before him, and there was given him ruling authority, that's Yahshua, and you, and a kingdom, a priest, which is you, sons and daughters, that all people, nations, languages, should obey him. That's what you see in Genesis 49, verse 10 and 11, till I make your enemies your footstool. That's the prophecy given as early as Genesis 49, 10 and 11. His government is an everlasting government, and the gates of hell won't prevail against this one, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Back over to verse 26. But the judgment will set, and they will take away his government to consume and to destroy it completely. Then the kingdoms and the governments and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people. That's you, brother. That's what you're training for right now. It's just about here. I tell you, it's a beautiful sight when you can get these. If you could rehearse that sermon every once in a while, it will keep Satan from entering into your life. You'll push harder against Satan to keep her out of your life. You'll push harder to get to come out of this world, which Yahweh tells you to do. Come out of this world. Be you separate. Don't be fooling around with these God worshipers. They're going to get you in trouble. I know none of you are. I'm talking to the world out there. You've got to give it up. You got to repent to Yahweh. Make your way to the house of Yahweh, where you will be taught and baptized, and your sins will be forgiven. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next leader. I love you!
Many felt that they are the undesirables, the people that will never amount to anything. We were able to help many inmates who needed a way out, and some just wanted to get some advice on how to make better of their life, how to be able to gain the respect and be responsible and start anew. I can't congratulate enough Mr. Israel Hawkins for his program. If it wasn't for him, these people will probably have difficulty finding answers and a solution on how to deal with some of their problems. I congratulate Mr. Israel Hawkins for being a part of our community and being a part of our lives, because without you, we couldn't make a difference in our community.
It seems so sad at first.